Hello and welcome to The Healthy Back, the podcast that shares practical tips to have a healthy spine and lead an active lifestyle. I'm your host, Taruna Rijwani, physical therapist and McKinsey Method specialist, and every week I'll be sharing tips and lessons to help you manage your back problems without pain pills, injections, or surgeries. We will talk about the common challenges that people with spinal issues face, debunk the myths, and even break down the research on spine and joint-related problems for you. And yes, also have a lot of fun along the way. I hope you'll join me on the ride. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your podcast player so you never miss an episode. And if you like what you're listening, don't forget to leave a ratings and review on iTunes. It really helps to spread the message further. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to another episode of The Healthy Back. In this week's podcast episode, we have a part two with one of our previous guests, which was a very successful episode. Her name is Alana Sugar. She's a certified nutritionist and she's in the Northern Virginia area. We talked with Alana about the importance of eating seasonally as the seasons are changing and we are going into the warmer months, how it's important to make changes in our diet as these seasons and temperatures change, but also how it's important to understand that food is not one size fits all. What might work for you may not necessarily work for someone else, so kind of keep that in mind. Also, we talk about making some healthy dietary changes for people as they are turning 50 plus, because as people tend to kind of reach in their 50s, 60s and 70s, a lot of their nutritional gaps tend to get filled with just supplements. So how can you fill those nutritional deficits by eating more natural foods versus just relying on supplements alone? So we kind of have a healthy discussion on that as well. So if you are looking to eat healthier as you turn 50 plus, as we enter the warmer summer months, so that you can stay active and enjoy peak health and mobility, then this episode is a must listen for you. So without further ado, here is our podcast guest, Alana Sugar. Hi, Alana. Thank you for being back on our show. It's such a great pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. It's so nice to be back with you again.
Awesome. So why don't you start by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself for those who haven't listened to the part one of this episode.
Okay, so I'm Alana. My last name is Sugar, just like granulated, which is very, very strange for a nutritionist. I have been practicing nutrition and nutritional consulting, oh my goodness, for well over 30 years now in Texas, and then here for about 27 years in Northern Virginia. And I currently am teaching a lot of healthy eating classes and webinars and cooking classes for Cigna Healthcare. And I work for a little online company called Pure Indian Foods, and I do a lot of nutritional consulting for them. I write articles, and we focus a lot on, you know, the holistic nature of food and health. I have been teaching classes to corporations and businesses, federal government, local television stations, et cetera, for a very, very long time. And so I have counseled with a lot of people over the years, and I've really come to learn about the diversity of people and the diversity of what their needs are, right? So, it's something you don't really learn from a book in college, so to speak.
Right. Yeah. No, that's amazing. That's why we love having you here and love getting your tips. As the weather is getting warmer now, we are entering the spring and summer months. Yeah. How do you think people can start changing their diets?
Right. So this is a good question because I'm always stressing the importance of eating seasonally, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's Pineapple doesn't grow in Minnesota in January, right? And
Yeah.
also, when we eat seasonally as much as possible, we may also be eating more locally than we know, eating that grow around us, that, by our local farms. So remember, though, that whatever I say, it should be taken generally because everybody is different. So the diet that's right for one person is not necessarily right for another person. If you look at ancient systems of healing, like, age-old Chinese medicine or Ayurvedic medicine from India or Zen medicine, they don't, they never say, okay, everybody eat this, like a food guide pyramid or something. All right, here it is. That's it. No. You have to take into account the differences in people, right? So these are general recommendations that may or may not be 100% suitable to whomever might be listening, right? But obviously, as the weather gets warmer, we want to be focusing on cooler foods. And the cooler foods are those foods that naturally contain more water, right? So fruits and vegetables, for example, okay? At the same time, getting away from those foods which are heavier and harder to digest. So as we move into the hot months, it's counterintuitive to be eating, slow simmered beef stew, right? It's far better. You're going to make, a summer soup with tomato and zucchini and yellow squash and corn, or you're going to have some grilled chicken, or you're going to have, some vegetarian foods, some lentils and rice and some things that are less heavy, less fatty, those kinds of things. Of course. And then I think, obviously staying hydrated is important, but the amount of water that people need will also differ. Some people have a lot of internal water, and they don't, they're quite damp inside, according to, say, the Chinese things. Maybe they don't have a great deal of thirst. So to overburden them with, 10, 12, 15 glasses of water a day would not be the right thing to do. They may do fine, somewhere between 4 to 6 or no more than 7 or 8 glasses of water a day. So again, that's another thing to consider. And I personally am of the belief that regardless of the season, iced water, not ideal. Cool water, fine. Iced water is never a good idea. And you don't really find people drinking a lot of ice water throughout Asian countries. I lived in India. I don't remember anybody eating, drinking down ice water. The same in Europe. They don't serve that. But in the US, we tend to really go for that ice cold, just slightly above freezing. And I think that is not good because the stomach itself needs to be something like, I guess in theory, sitting on think of it like a cauldron, with the sitting on a flame, right? So the ice just puts flame out. And yet I notice people in this country will have a big dinner, have a big lunch, and they'll drink a massive amount of ice water down with it. And that's not for the digestive process. We want to stay hydrated, but the best time to do that is in between meals. You can sip a little bit of water or even some hot tea or something like that during a meal, but otherwise keep that water coming, room temperature or cool or even hot water if your body is naturally on the cooler side, but between those meals, right? And do again remember that, of course, more salads and raw fruits are better in the hot months, but for people with weakened digestion, salad is not great. It would be better to have cooked vegetables that are seasonal. And then I'll just say another thing here too is that it is sometimes helpful for people when it's hot outside to not overeat. And I'm going to bring that up again a little bit later, but to eat less, even if that means eating more times during the day. So maybe rather than eating, 2 or 3 big meals, eating, 4 or 5 smaller meals. Now, I have to say, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, Taruna, that living all day in air conditioning, where maybe it's 68 or 70 inside, even if it's 95 or close to 100 outside can
Yeah.
change that. It's, you know, we're exposed to false air. But, you know, again, as a general rule, this is what I would say for that.
Yeah. No, I love those tips and it makes sense. Like, I love eating ramen and it's not as much fun to eat like a hot bowl of ramen in summer as it is in winter. So your body's needs kind of change. So it all kind of adds up together.
Does.
So,
Yeah,
yeah.
absolutely. Go from like hot ramen soup with ginger in it,
Yeah.
old ramen salad, right? Or cool ramen noodles over, you know, salad.
Yeah. 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 So, how would you summarize this to like three quick and effective tips that someone can make as the season is changing in their diet right away,
Right.
starting tomorrow?
So, is it okay if I give you four tips?
Yeah, I'll take four.
Thank you. All right. Number one thing that you can do right away is really watch yourself. Do not overeat. It is not good. It is stressful to the digestive organs. People who overeat, like we do sometimes at Thanksgiving or other holidays, have often come back and said, I was just so, I ate so much that my heart was racing. You know, it can put stress on the body. And it is not a good thing to do. So really pay attention to what I like to call a scale in your body. And if you eat slow enough, you don't rush through your meal, you give your body time to let your brain know that it's had enough to eat, you know, usually around 10 or so. But as a general rule, you want to eat thoughtfully and mindfully and stop. So if you think of a scale in your belly, zero is you're starving, right? You're so hungry. And 10 is you've eaten so much, you need a stretcher to bed or, I don't know, to the door of a restaurant, right? You
I
want
love
to
it.
stop when you're around, you know, a 6 or no more than a 7, you know, or anywhere from 5 to 7. So like in the Okinawa island near Japan, right? The Japanese in Okinawa, the Okinawans have a saying of hara hachi bu, and it means you just don't fill your stomach more than about 80% capacity. And in Ayurveda, they have a similar thing. You don't need that much food. You eat, you know, enough to fill yourself, but never to that point where you're feeling that full feeling, because you want to leave enough life room for a prana or life force, so to speak, to flow and help with that digestive process. So really, you don't overeat. The second point here is to eat quality fats. Start right away. Throw away the vegetable oils, the fried foods, the damaged fats like soybean oil and all of these things, the nebulous vegetable oil with cottonseed. No, not good. You get your fat from good quality nuts, seeds, avocado, butter. Ghee is an excellent fat. Extra virgin olive oil is excellent. You know, those are the best sources of fats. And so, you know, a little bit of like high oleic or high heat sunflower oil or some toasted sesame oil to, you know, give a nice Asian flair to a stir fry, for example, is totally fine. But a lot of the processed seed oils, including corn oil, are really not good. They are inflammatory, you know, so they kept at a minimum or avoided. You know, so be aware of things like margarine. It would be much better to take a stick of butter, leave it on the counter, get soft, and add half a cup of extra virgin olive oil to it in a blender. And so it looks like a liquid golden kind of buttery oil. And you pour that into a glass container, put a lid on it, leave that in the refrigerator. You make your own sort of olive oil butter margarine. It's spreadable, delicious. You could do that, you know, if you want something that's more margarine like or less saturated. But in reality, the goal is to really watch those damaged fats. So be aware of that with fast food as well, you know. And also, again, in the summer, because we are getting into the hotter months, we really don't need to be having a ton of really heavy fatty foods anyway, lighter foods now, right? The third point here is to really cut out overly processed foods. And that, of course, is packaged processed foods, that you see that have words or ingredients that are very difficult to pronounce. And this certainly includes processed meats, bacon, sausages, things like that, white flour products, sugary products. These are not beneficial at all for the bacteria that live in our large intestine primarily, or throughout our gut, but primarily in the large intestine and the colon, where we want to foster a really healthy, thriving ecosystem. And you do that by generating, more, or you eat a lot of different plant foods. Maybe 30 is a good number. That seems to be the number choice here among professionals. Foster that, yeah. So you get enough fiber in your diet. That's the fourth point. You do that with foods. So the fiber is beneficial and it helps the gut to flourish. I'm not talking about sprinkling bran on white flour foods or cereals like puffed rice. I'm talking about cooking or making your own muffins with, blueberries and stone ground whole wheat flour, or sprout whole wheat flour or spelt or kamut or buckwheat flour or any of these whole grains, that could be even in combination with like ground almond meal, ground almond flour, right? That would make really delicious but highly nutritious and fiber filled muffins, right? So just doing things like that. And I always tend to think about Thomas Jefferson, when I talk about the need for enough plant foods and a variety of plant foods. In Monticello, a couple hours from where I live, he had the most amazing gardens. And I mean, he used to say that, the idea behind a healthy diet is to eat mostly plants and to use meats, but to use them as condiments, so smaller amounts. And similar to what Michael Pollan, the famous author from the New York Times, used to say, which is, you eat real food, mostly plants, and not too much. So again, mostly, but some people will need more warming feet, food, and meats than others, right? But as a general rule, that's what you want to do. So those are my 4 points.
No, I love it. And especially the Japanese islands one that you mentioned, because I'm reading this book right now called Ikigai. I don't know if you've read that. And that's they talk about that in like the very first beginning of it is one of their secrets to healthier and happier living was to eat up to they are 80% full, which is exactly what you said.
I have to tell you about that because that I, it, you know, my own grandfather lived pretty much a century, close to 100 years. And, when I was a little girl, he was an old man to me, right? And I used to say, Daddy, how come you're in great shape. You practice your boxing, you go for bicycle rides, you're thin, He would, oh, baby, I eat anything I want. I just don't swallow. And I would laugh and laugh because I thought hilarious, right? But then when I got older, and he was still very old, at that point I asked him again, and he said, the secret is I always push my plate away when I could eat a little bit more. I never let myself get full. And his mother was from France, and she taught him, to eat just to that capacity of satisfaction, but never more than that. So as a consequence, never heavier than the weight he was when he graduated from high school, and he lived that long because it really, really is true that when we don't overeat, we have energy to take care of other processes in the body, including cleanup, right?
Love it. So my next question is, as people, they turn 50 plus, that is a majority of our listeners, as their bodies are changing, anything that they can change in their diets, instead of just relying on more and more supplements, because that's where the trend seems to be taking us. Of course, supplements have their place, where we are deficient, but how can we naturally also supplement our diet?
It's a great question. And again, we have to remember that when we get older, that our bodies tend to dry out more, right? So is really the time when we need to be eating more of those cooked, warm, moist foods, right? They're much easier to digest and much better for people who are older than a lot of hard to digest raw foods. Okay. The warm, moist foods will help to sort of moisturize the body. Good quality oil could be added to that, like extra virgin olive oil and ghee could be added to those foods. They help with alleviating, constipation if there's an adequate oil and cooked foods with fiber. So even oiling the body, oiling the fingernails, a little bit of oil or ghee up the nose, those kinds of things can be very helpful. So oiling the body is particularly important. And I would recommend more good quality oils like, a little bit of warmed up sesame oil or almond oil on the body, then lotions, which often have a good deal of chemicals. You can even take those oils and drop a little essential oil like rose or lavender or jasmine into it and smell lovely or, Yeah. So that's number one there. Warm and hot beverages, again, are important as we get older. And along with the focus on the good quality fats that we talked about, soaking nuts and seeds, very good. And then I would recommend broth for people who are older. And if they're not vegetarian, then bone broth is very, very good. So like some chicken broth, because chicken broth, the bone broth, like if it's prepared properly with a little bit of acid, like apple cider vinegar in it, extracts the minerals from the bone. So obviously the chicken broth or whatever bone broth should be made from animals that are grown naturally, pasture raised, no antibiotics and hormones or anything like that, right? But it gives collagen to the system and it is very, very nourishing to the cells. So that's what I would recommend in terms of diet. Watch those damaged fats, get those warm, moist foods and not as much raw, cold food, drying foods, foods that tend to produce a lot of gas. So maybe instead of heavier beans like pinto beans and kidney beans, instead enjoy lentils. They're easier
Love
on the
it.
skin. Yeah. So that would be something, that I would do. And then of course, broth and take it easier. The older you get, the less of those raw, cold foods you should be eating, right?
I
That
love
makes
those simple. Yeah, it does make sense because sometimes what we kind of read, it's like one size fit all. Like it's like just eat more salads if you want to be, healthier or lose weight. But it, like you said, some people may have digestive issues, or
That's right.
if they are getting older, the salads all the time might not be the best way to go for them. So
That's exactly right. Yeah, and I think that older people, again, they may not, it's not a good idea to fill your stomach to capacity. It is not. And you may be more prone to acid reflux, or something, although that can strike you at a younger age or,
still are.
being aware of not overfilling your stomach. And that is one of the secrets of these Okinawan people who live, 110, 112 years. That's a blue zone there, like a few others. And so the thing I would say is often older people like to have their sweets, their cookies, their pies, their donuts. These are inflammatory. Again, if possible, it would be much better to bake your own nutritious treats, for say the weekends or something like that, but not to go overboard on those things, but to have those good quality proteins, the legumes, the chicken, the fish, the beef might be better in a stew for an elderly person, even in the summertime, or in a soup, but the good quality proteins are very important with healthy fats and cooked vegetables and whole grains that are well cooked. Rice, even white rice like basmati rice, perfectly fine when you get older. Sweet potatoes are great. Potatoes are wonderful too.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Anything you would like to add for our listeners to kind of conclude the episode with all these amazing tips?
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, again, I just want to bring home the point that it's important for us to practice mindful eating and even, to savor the deliciousness of our food. And when we go out to eat, to do our best to seek those restaurants that can accommodate us, with our own consciousness about food. So those restaurants where we know we can get good food, they're using quality ingredients. And you can always go online to check out what their policies are, or in the case of fast food, even, what their nutrition facts are, or call the restaurant,
Yeah.
Be aware for everybody, regardless of age, be aware of that little voice inside of us. If we have a goal that we want to achieve with our diet, and we're about to eat something and that little voice inside says, should we be doing that? Then
Yeah.
pay to it, and if you decide to go ahead and eat it anyway, that's okay, but you've got to take responsibility for it. It didn't happen to you, right?
Yeah.
You made that choice,
You
right?
chose it. Yeah.
Fine. And if
Right.
you chose it, be at peace with it, because you can also say, you know what, I think I'll hold off on that and maybe do that another time when I feel like, okay, I can do that right now.
Yeah.
As much as possible, do your best to cultivate a love rather than a love-hate relationship with food. Learn to love food. Learn to love good food. Your taste buds are highly adaptable. They will adjust, as will your body, to whatever you give it. After a while, it will begin to crave more of that, whether it's, broccoli with lemon and butter, or whether it's, quite frankly, cocaine. Give it
Something, yeah.
more,
Yeah.
And so give it. And give it some time, but give it those good foods, And then the other thing I would do is say, take note of the beauty of food. When you're in your grocery store or if you're at a farmer's market, just look around at the magnificent abundance of food and the beautiful colors, and know that our body loves to eat and digest those beautiful colors of food. And rather than, other than maybe beets, where, we can eat beets and then go to the bathroom and, oh my gosh, we like, why is my urine red?
Yeah.
The body, through its own processes, will inherently absorb the colors of blueberries and red peppers and, dark
Yeah.
leafy and things like that. And even, it loves these things, and they get mixed with bile and all kinds of stuff in the intestines. But ultimately, those colors let us know that those foods contain these plant properties or compounds that are very beneficial for us and protective for our immune system, and good food for the bacteria that live in our gut, for these trillions of wonderful little organisms. So also, the colorful fruits and vegetables, I would say broaden your horizon by choosing one new food each week. Maybe you've never had celeriac, or you've never tried burdock root that you saw at the health food store, or maybe you like green peppers, but you've never had an orange bell pepper. So just try
Yeah.
something new every week if you can. And that would include even a new, maybe a new whole grain. Maybe you're familiar with brown rice, but you've never had quinoa, or you've never had barley, or you've had
Yeah.
instant oatmeal, but you've never had, steel cut oats that you cook in your crock pot overnight. So just broaden your horizons like that.
Yeah, no, I love it. That's a lot of good, great tips. Thank you so much for taking the time to being on our show. It's always a pleasure to have you.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to the Healthy Back today. I'll be back next week with more tips to help you lead a pain-free and active lifestyle. For now, don't forget to hit the subscribe button, and please don't forget to share this podcast with your friends or anyone else who might benefit from learning about how to live a healthy lifestyle.